In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, around the beginning of the second century, around the year 100, there was a man born in a place called Flavia Neapolis. It's a town that in modern-day Palestine, and his name was Justin. And when Justin was growing up, he was growing up as a pagan. He was educated in pagan philosophy. He was educated in various schools of philosophy, the school of the Stoics and Platonic philosophy. And meanwhile, he was told that there was a group of people called Christians and that they were very evil people, that they led lives just for pleasure-seeking, that they were wicked as people. And he took this on board, but then he started to observe the behavior of the Christians. And he particularly observed the way that the Christians were persecuted and how they died for their faith. He saw them be martyred for their belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing this on multiple occasions, he reflected and he said to himself, how would it be possible for such people to be leading a life of pleasure, of sensual pleasure, and to be leading an evil life if they're so willingly dying for the sake of their faith? He says that didn't make sense. And so this led him to investigate Catholicism, Christianity, and of course, he converted. He converted to the Catholic faith, and he became a saint, Saint Justin. We celebrate his feast day on April the 14th each year. And he was martyred. He ended up being martyred when he was about 65 years old. So because St. Justin had been educated in pagan philosophy and he came from the pagan world, he felt like he was particularly in a good position to try to convince the pagans not to persecute the Catholics. And so he became a Christian apologist. He wrote some works of apology. And these weren't works where he said, I'm really sorry, I'm sorry for being a Christian or whatever. No, an apology, a work of apology that comes from the Greek word apologia. And this word meant that you were making a defense of your opinion, of your position on a particular matter. So St. Justin wrote a couple of apologies to the Roman emperor, who at the time was Marcus Aurelius. And he was trying to explain to Marcus Aurelius what the Christians believed from a true perspective, and also to convince Marcus Aurelius that he should stop killing Christians, he should stop martyring them. And one of the most difficult topics for St. Justin to treat was the question of the resurrection from the dead. Because of the fact that of all the things that the Catholics believed, the resurrection of the dead seemed particularly ridiculous to them. They thought this is insane. This is crazy to believe that after you put people in the cemeteries, that at one point they're all going to be raised up from the dead, that life is going to be restored to these bodies, and they're going to be living again. He said that they thought this was crazy. You know that in the Acts of the Apostles, there's that story about St. Paul going to Athens, and he goes to the place where people could do some public speaking and talk about their opinions. And the Athenians, they love to hear new speakers, so they went to hear St. Paul, and he's talking about the Christian faith until he gets to the point where he says that we're going to rise from the dead. And at that point, they're just like, okay, you know, it's been nice hearing you. That's enough for today. Maybe we'll come back and listen to you another time. So the resurrection from the dead was particularly a stumbling block for pagans thinking about converting to the Catholic faith. So I want to focus on St. Justin's argument for the resurrection from the dead. Here is what he says in chapter 19 of his first apology, his first work that he sends to Marcus Aurelius. He says, to any thoughtful person, would anything appear more incredible than if we were not in the body, and someone were to say that it was possible that from a small drop of human seed, bones and sinews and flesh be formed into a shape such as we see. For let this now be said hypothetically. If you yourselves were not such as you are now, and born of such parents, and one were to sow you human seed in a picture of a man, and were to say with confidence that from such a substance such a being could be produced, would you believe before you saw the actual production? No one will dare to deny that such a statement would surpass belief. In the same way, then, you are now incredulous because you have never seen a dead man rise again. But as at first you would not have believed it possible that such persons could be produced from the small drop, and yet now you see them thus produced, so also judge you that it is not impossible that the bodies of men, after they have been dissolved and like seeds resolved into the earth, should, in God's appointed time, rise again and put on incorruption. So it's like St. Justin is saying to Marcus Aurelius and to the pagans, you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. But what if I show you something that you do believe in that is just as incredible? Would you then be willing to think that the resurrection of the dead would be possible? Well, let me show you something. Let's think about the biological world. Let's think about the fact that human beings come from a tiny seed. Let's think about the fact of what our Lord talks about in today's parable, about the mustard seed. That you have this really tiny seed, and you look at the seed, and you say, okay, you see that seed? Well, this tree over here, this tree came from a seed just like this seed, just like this mustard seed. Do you believe it? Can you believe that this is possible? We're like, well, yes, I can believe it's possible because we see it happen. We plant the seed in the ground, we water it, and this plant comes out, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's a tree, until it's this big tree. And so we believe it's possible. We can't refuse our own senses. And so, definitely, if the creator of the world can do this, he would be able to make us rise from the dead. Something that really hits me when I read this argument of St. Justin is just this fact that we kind of take for granted, that really the whole of the biological world that God has created is a miracle. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's astounding. If we think about it, the fact that there is anything living at all is really incredible. The things that are moving, the question that the animals and plants have this power of growth and reproduction, the new life is continually being generated on this earth in such a variety of life, and the choreography of the growing of things, of the life cycle, is utterly astounding if we think about it. If we sort of abstract from the fact that we're born into this order, into this natural order, and we think about, well, what if I had never seen any of this before? You know, like if you go to Australia and you see a totally different set of animals and plants and everything, you're just amazed. This is incredible because you've never seen these things. You wouldn't even think they were possible if they weren't before your eyes and you had not seen them. So if we inhabit this world and we see before us all the time incredible biological wonders that we know came from God, then doesn't it make sense that we would believe that God could create another order, an order that we call heaven, a supernatural order, wherein, well, there are people who are risen from the dead, there are people who no longer suffer, there are people who live forever, there are people who have glorified bodies. If we say at the beginning of our creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and we believe he created all this order, does it not make sense that if he tells us, I've created another order where all these things take place, that it's eminently believable? Or, for instance, if we see that, well, the wheat plants grow and they're turned into bread, which nourishes our body. Doesn't it make sense that if God made that to happen, he can also nourish us with his body and blood in the most blessed sacrament? That also would be possible? If he's capable of the one, he's capable of the other. Doesn't it make sense? The problem with the unbeliever is that he's only willing to believe things that he sees with his own senses. He's not willing to have the spirit of analogy to say that, well, if this exists here, then there might be other things that are possible. He's not willing to extrapolate from what he sees in the natural world to think about the supernatural world. Whereas we, my dear faithful, who are blessed with the Catholic faith, we do believe, we see, and we do believe. We find it very reasonable to believe these things. Not only will you be saying in a few moments this creed, singing this creed, this profession of a belief, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, but you will be saying as well, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. As if it were not enough for God, and it should be enough, that he shows us all these miracles of the natural world as a basis for our belief in what he tells us, but does not want to show us of the supernatural world, so that we can have faith, so that we can exercise ourselves in faith. As if that were not enough, God has also given us the evidence of the saints raising people from the dead. And he's given to certain saints this power to raise people from the dead to simply confirm us in what we already believe. This past Monday, we had the Feast of St. Martin of Tours, and St. Martin famously raised three people from the dead. There was one situation where he was away from his monastery, and there was a catechumen, you know, someone who's converting to the faith but had not yet been baptized, who was there at the monastery, and he developed his fever, and he died. And St. Martin came back, and they told him this story. They said, like, well, the poor catechumen, he died. So St. Martin said, well, take me to the cell. They took him to the cell where the body was laid out, motionless. And St. Martin stretched himself at full length on the dead limbs of his departed brother. After he had stayed lying there some time in prayer and had become aware through the Spirit that the power of God was present, he rose up for a short time and, fixing his gaze on the dead man's face, he waited with confidence for the result of his prayer and the mercy of the Lord. And after scarcely 2 hours had passed, he saw the dead man begin to move all his limbs little by little, and his eyes trembling and blinking as he recovered his sight. As soon as the man came back to life, they baptized him right away. It was like, we better get him baptized this time so he doesn't die again without being baptized. And then they asked him, they were like, what was it like when you were dead all that time? And he told them, he said, well, when I left the body, I was brought before the tribunal of the judge, and I received a sentence that was not very good. And I was relegated to the dark places among the crowd of common men. Then there were two angels around the judge, and they said to the judge, I think this is the man that Martin is praying for. And then those angels, the judge ordered those angels to lead me back and to give me back to Martin to restore me to life. And so that's what happened. As they see, God is so good to us, it's as if he knows that we should have enough evidence in the natural world of his power to believe in the supernatural world of heaven. That should be sufficient. But he even wants to give us more by having these episodes in the lives of the saints where they raise someone from the dead, just again to confirm our faith. So, my dear faithful, it's good for us to recall that our faith is eminently reasonable. It makes sense. It's not crazy to believe what we believe in. It makes a lot of sense. Just if we're able to observe what God has done in the natural world, that is way beyond our expectation, that is really miraculous, if we just reflect upon it for a little bit, then it makes eminent sense that what God tells us about the supernatural world is also true. First of all, because it is God, he cannot deceive nor be deceived. He's eminently true. And also because he's given us so many proofs of his infinite power. So let us once again affirm our faith, our belief. Let us hold to these beliefs, be faithful to these beliefs, so that one day we may indeed be able to enter into that heavenly kingdom and be happy forever there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.